Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Niccolò Comotti here, the 75th edition of the Venice Film Festival, and today I'm joined by Paul Iacovo, is that correct?
That's correct, very good spelling. Good. Well done.
And we're talking about the ghost of Peter Sellers in the Giornata degli Autori. I just want to know how everything started, so when you kind of like fell in love with the project and you decided to produce it.
Sure.
And also, I mean, it's a kind of a cathartic experience, both for Peter, but also, I think, for yourself.
Absolutely.
Because you learn so much from him and from his experience.
A roller coaster ride. I mean, it all started with a photograph on a wall in an old photographer's studio in Nicosia, and it was a picture of Peter Sellers, and I said to my friend, why is there a picture of Peter Sellers? And he said, this is from the movie they shot here in 1973. I said, what movie? And then he told me, and I started looking into it, and nobody knew about this film that happened on our island, which is a very, you know, small island. And the more I read, the more interesting it became. And basically, they made the film. But Peter Sellers decided when he got to Cyprus that he wanted to sabotage the project. He didn't like it. He wanted to get off the project. So he did everything that he could to shut it down. So he fired the producers. He fired the director of photography. And then he turned on his friend, Peter Murdoch. So once I found all this out, it just got more and more interesting. And then I reached out to Peter Medak, and I found that he'd been waiting really 45 years to tell the story. So it just became more and more interesting. And then we grew it over time. I mean, originally it was a very small project, but once originally I was the director, which lasted about 3 weeks. Once Peter said, you know, who's directing it? And I said, I am. He then said, well, you know what? I'll direct it if you want, which obviously you don't refuse. Mm-hmm. And then we went on this journey together, and it's been up and down. It's been amazing for Peter, because really, he was a very, very hot director at that point. 1973, he'd made these three great films. He went to Cannes with a film called The Ruling Class, and he was really the new kind of Tarantino of his day. And the next movie that he made was this one, and because it didn't come out, and you know the film business, you know, you're only as good as your last movie, as they say. It had a huge effect on his career. He picked up again, but he had this monkey on his back, really, for all these years of trying to explain what happened. Everybody blamed him because you always blame the director. And they thought, well, you know, you've got this amazing comedian. Mm-hmm. You've got this great boat. You've got this pirate ship. You've got a great location. You know, what went wrong? So we kind of went on slowly this journey, and it grew and grew and grew and grew. And if anybody told me 4 years ago that I'd be here today, I would have said, you know, it's just kind of the strangest thing, really, to be here. So, it's been one hell of a ride. And for him, and it's been great for him because he's 80 now. He's finally released the guilt that he felt, not only for himself, but for the crew, for everybody because he, as a director, he always brings in people he's worked with before. So he brought all these people in. Everybody thought it was going to be great, and it didn't turn out so good. So he's released all of that. And one of the biggest elements was the executive producer, if you like, or the overall owner of the film, a guy called John Heyman, who his son is, you may know, David Heyman, who did the Harry Potter movies and stuff. It became clear that actually one of the biggest things that he had to release was he had to hear from John Heyman that, you know, we were all to blame for what happened. And that moment, which we captured on film, thank God, that really what it became all about, his relationship with John and with Sellers, and letting go of the guilt, really. So it's an old-fashioned story, and I think that's why it's resonating. It's not political. There's no political aspect. It's not social. You know, it doesn't deal with some of the issues. It's just a good old-fashioned story. And, you know, I think, thankfully, people are really connecting with it. So
it is true that it's, you know, like a kind of, as you said, an old-fashioned story, but it's unbelievable the power with which you convey it, because you really live through the angst and the everlasting haunting moments that happened 42 years ago, and it still affects the life of a man.
Well, it does. I didn't realize, you know, because you look at somebody and you say, well, you know, he's 80 years old, he's made amazing films since then. You think, you know, you'd leave it behind, but he hasn't. And I think a lot of that is because he originally was a Hungarian refugee, so he fled Hungary. Mm-hmm. And as you see in the film, you know, he talks about feeling guilty about leaving the people behind in Hungary. When the German Russians retreated for about 2 days, he escaped at the age of 17 and walked to London, to the UK. And he felt guilty about that, leaving all his people behind. So this sort of theme of guilt followed him, which I had no idea existed until we started doing it. But also, I mean, he won't mind me saying, but he was quite guarded in what he was saying and how he was controlling what we were shooting. At one point, we kidnapped him and took him on a boat out to sea so we could ask him some really difficult questions and he couldn't get off the boat. And that, I think, added something, you know, to the film. But he's the most amazing person, and he's... I call him one of the last bridges to old Hollywood, which he is, because his friends are all those, you know, those guys. And it was a different time, a different way of making movies. It was all built around risk. Like we show in our film, you get $2.5 million, you get a big actor, you get a hot director, and off you go. Nobody even looked at the script, which today is unthinkable. Today, everything is dissected and too many people involved is, you know... So it was the mad movie-making time of the 70s, particularly in Britain. So I think we show a bit of that as well. So, yeah.
And how delicate was the overall, you know, the overall process? I mean, you could go to so many different paths with him, you know, with Peter. And of course, it's like, you know, you actually can see the things are resurfacing again.
Yeah.
And so you could catch something very dramatic, but at the same time maybe you lose with the story and the unraveling of it.
Well, it was difficult. It was difficult because I was worried from the beginning. How do you make a documentary about, you know, starring Peter Medak, directed by Peter Medak, you know, and featuring the story of Peter Medak? And that was always my fear from the very beginning. How do people believe in it? So we had to engineer a lot of things. And I didn't know Peter, obviously. But now, you know, and I love him to death. He's an incredible guy. And we've grown together through this project. And he's taught me an unbelievable amount of, not only filmmaking, but really just about, you know, life. And so it was a gentle process. And I realized very early on that you never say no to him. Anything that he wants, you say yes. We'll figure it out. So, I mean, and he's a feature films director. So he wanted three cameras. He wanted tracks. He wanted this, that, and the other. Because he's used to having all of that. Of course. Which in a documentary, you start to think, well, this is very strange. How is it going to work? And we called it very quickly a feature-mentary. It was a term that we kind of used. Because it was, you know, he used to call action, you know, everybody, stand by, action, as if it was a scene in a movie. But then that became quite interesting anyway, and it became quite exciting to watch. And we realized this is not going to be a normal, your normal documentary, so we kind of embraced it and just created an environment for him to do the things he wanted to do and things that I wanted to be in there. So we kind of got like a, you know, a cupboard full of things that we could pull from in the edit. And you know, the edit is, you could have cut it 50 different ways. Sure. And we were so lucky that we got Joby, his name Joby G, and I chased him for about 2 years because I knew he was the right guy. The reason, you know, part of the reason why we have such a watchable film is because of Joby. And the same with Peter in the edit, because he's not used to editing documentaries. And documentaries, you have to keep everything in your head, which he wasn't used to doing. We'd cut a bit and he'd say, okay, we've done that, leave that, let's not go back to it. And we'd say, Peter, you can't do that. You know, this is a documentary, you might have to come back, we'll change it and blah, blah, blah. So it was a very interesting process, very, very, very interesting. But I think we managed to get what we needed from Peter.
And tell me, as the last question, were you ever afraid then Peter Medak would turn into Peter Sellers for him? So, like, you know, like kind of like letting things loose and giving him, of course, the sort of, you know, like the captain's hat as well. So you're going to be the director.
Yes.
Were there any moments where you're like, oh gosh, maybe I'm actually making the same mistake as...
There was, yes, there was from the very beginning.
All right.
From the very beginning, I started worrying, you know, can we afford to? Because the other big thing was that originally I was financing the movie myself. And it became very obvious quickly that it just grew and grew and grew. And it ended up being 15 times the budget that we had originally. But at the same time, you could see where it was going and it was worth doing that. So, you know, I had to go and find investor after investor after investor. And it's totally privately funded. We got no help from anybody, anything, which is great and bad at the same time. But now we've got here, it's fantastic. So it was a bit, but that's what I'm saying. When I realized you have to just leave Peter to do what he has to do, and he has to feel comfortable. And then we always thought, we're going to squeeze this in and we're going to squeeze that in. And actually, the ending of the film we got because I told the DP, which is, you know, most directors would kill you if you said, I said, when he says cut, don't cut, keep rolling. And that's what, thankfully, they did. And that's how we got this great moment that was off camera. And Peter was kind enough to allow us to use it. And I think that made the film 10, 15% more powerful at the end. So it was, people probably think I'm mad, but it was a bit of managing him. He knew I'm not a very experienced producer, and he's got this huge repertoire of films. So by the end of it, we both believe in each other, I think, and he's so excited that the film's got so much attention. So, you know, I'd do it all over again in an instant, really.
It's totally worth it. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Paul, for being with us here at Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.